Stand by. Is this thing on?
Yes, Dan.
Oh, hello.
You're listening to Old News with Dan and Carrie.
This just in.
Breaking news to report.
We are live.
Old newscasters reunite.
Can we just say former?
Sure. Former newscasters reunite behind the mic after more than 20 years.
Old news is good news.
Stay tuned.
Today's guest is an all-around classic. His rise to his current position as a chief meteorologist in TV is really the classic broadcasting story. He started out not in TV, but at a radio station near a classic little city called Detroit, Michigan, I believe, back in about 1993. From there, he went on to do more radio in Northwest Ohio. Then he made the jump to TV news as an anchor, reporter. Truly an amazing run from weekend weather anchor to dayside meteorologist to chief meteorologist. And on top of all that, this guy is a hell of a self-taught guitar and piano player who loves classic rock, including the Beatles, I know. And I think he loves classic cars as well. I'm talking, of course, of Kevin Craig.
Kevin Craig!
Yay! Hey, guys. How are
you? So good to see you. It's been so long.
Yeah, it has. It just seems like another lifetime ago when we were doing our thing together as a team in Madison, Wisconsin. But Madison is a great city. Was proud to be there. And, of course, they hooked us up, and we were part of the morning team there at 27 Weather Central and did the thing there for 3 years and then moved on. And here we've been. March of this year will mark 23 years here in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
That's
as we
incredible.
Said to some of the other folks who we've talked to too, Kevin, that's kind of a survivor. I mean, TV news, meteorology, all of that stuff. It's a tough job, and you've done it well mm-hmm. for all of these years. And you've done it in some great places, like, you know, Grand Rapids, as we talked about before. What a beautiful city. And I know you're a Michigan guy through and through, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I will tell the best part of what I've done is that I've been able to do what I've wanted to do and make a living at it. It's not always easy to get this kind of an extended run in this business and make a decent living at it. There's only probably less than 10% of the people in our business that actually get really good positions that you could make a good living off. And that's above and beyond the ones that work for the network in New York, Chicago, LA, to where they're making several hundred thousand a year. Most of us don't see that kind of salary, myself included. But, you know, to be able to go and make a decent living off it and raise a family and do it for so long. This year marks 31 years for me in the business. And Dan, you just went through that whole thing.
Yeah.
It started as a board operator in a little old AM station in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And then rising to a full-time job in Northwest Ohio for an AM-FM combo there and doing some covering of news, and then a board operator there on the weekend, and then going to the competition about 15 minutes away there. So we went from Detroit to Tiffin, Ohio, to Fostoria and Findlay, Ohio, and then taking a huge pay cut. The starting salary in TV back in 96 when I did it, for me, was only $12,000 a year to go into TV. That's in the Clarksburg, West Virginia. So, it depends how badly you wanted it. I was single at the time and was able to take the jump and the pay cut and move into TV. And then the rest is, as you know, history. It's just a slow climb up the ladder at that point. So mm-hmm. persistent. So.
Well, and when you were in Madison with us at WKOW-TV, you were associated with Weather Central. And Weather Central, Dan and I have been reminiscing before we brought you on here, that was really a unique place. That it wasn't just a meteorology department that was forecasting and preparing the weather for our station. It's for the whole country or maybe even beyond. Can you share some of that?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I went back to Madison just a couple of months ago with my wife, because it's where it all started for us. We were mm-hmm. married in Detroit, but we were working in Madison at the time. And to go back there and take an extended weekend, I purposely, and I'm a very nostalgic guy to begin mm-hmm. with, as you guys know, I tend to live in the past, not necessarily for the future, but I like those things because times always seem better
yeah.
than that. Yeah. And you guys were part of that past as mm-hmm. well. And, you know, when I got hired at Weather Central, which was, there was a marriage of sorts with Weather Central and WKOW-TV. Mm-hmm. They provided forecasts, and they were a private weather consulting firm, and there was a group of meteorologists, quite a large group, that forecasted for newspapers and television stations all over the country. Hmm. And a small part of that was providing the forecast for WKOW-TV. And that was one of the things I did. I was hired to be the morning weather guy there Monday through Friday for WKOW-TV. But there were a lot of other things that I did too. We did local radio stations, and I still remember, I would make graphics every morning, and we would send maps to CBS News in New York, and those would go out to all their affiliate stations. We were responsible for providing that. So there were a lot of things that went on behind the scenes. But one of the things that I was really impressed about with Weather Central, and you guys know the chief meteorologist at 27 there at WKOW-TV in Madison, Bob Lindmeyer, at the time. He was one of the vice presidents of Weather Central. Hmm. And I remember when I applied for the job, because I was just finishing up a stint there after a year in Rockford, Illinois, which was about 90 minutes south of Madison. And I remember when I applied, he said, you know, you're going to have a really good tape and be good at what you do, because we really only hire meteorologists. And I didn't have my meteorology certification at the time.
Oh.
Because I spent a lot of my life I had spent in radio and TV news, mm-hmm. and I just start to do the changeover to weather. So, you know, we sent him the tape. He liked it. And he said, come on up and talk to us. And I did. And the rest was history. But that's what I liked about Weather Central is we got in there. They're very highly weather driven, very focused, laser focused on just weather because of everything that they did and everything that they provided. And I remember walking into Weather Central, and for a much younger guy who this was my second job as a weather guy to come in, all the technology was incredible. As you guys know, when you walk into Weather Central, they had three different tiers. They had a lower level tier, a mid-level tier, and then an upper tier to where different people doing different things worked on different levels. And the highest level when you walked up there and went up the stairs was the broadcast tier. Hmm. I'm not lying, guys, or exaggerating. Back in the mid to late 90s when I got there, it looked like the Starship Enterprise in Star Trek.
Really, totally.
It was really overtaking. It's, wow, this is really cool.
Yeah.
And to become part of that and do that and all the technology, Weather Central was a weather consulting firm. And Terry Kelly, who was the president of Weather Central, was one of the pioneers in coming up with graphics that we could show on TV. Some of the first forecast models, they have what they call their Adonis Future Track. And to be able to show these forecast models on TV and explain the weather, we were light years ahead of what some of the other stations were doing. But I was part of that, and it was
so
awesome
cool
to be part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I always felt whenever I wandered over there, I'd be like, now I'm going to NASA. And it just felt like you went to another world over there.
I always described it as the Starship Enterprise, because
that's good.
That's what it reminded me of. And the technology and you know, it's funny because when you go into places like that and you get your first few jobs, you kind of think, hey, I got this. I kind of know everything. In hindsight, I knew very little. But with the other guys that I was working there and some of the gals that were there as meteorologists and what I learned and what I gleaned from them. And you learn things over the course of time. And it's like, wow, I'm learning here. Now, when I look back on it, I didn't know much at all. But it was awesome training to have that. And that's something that 'll be a part of me for a long time. And what was sad, and it's funny, as I tell you guys this story, I said just a couple of months ago, we were back in Madison, and I always go back to those old places. And this past time when we went back, just to see where I used to park the car and walk in that door, and it moves you. But I there was a bonus for me, because several years before that, my wife and kids went back, and I actually, by dumb luck, got somebody came to the door. There was somebody in there, and they came to the door and they said, hey, I remember you. And they let us in, and I got to go back in and see that. And to see that all closed and shut down and lights off was really a sobering reality that, wow, this is where a lot of the business is going. Because Weather Central eventually sold off, and then they morphed in and transitioned to one of the biggest companies out there now, WSI, which is an IBM company now. They're located out in Boston, and they kind of absorbed all that and some of the manpower. But, you know, that's where this business is going now. That's where a lot of the TV news is consolidating, and we're trying to find ways to streamline things. and I'm part of that now. And I was saying 10, 15 years ago, guys, hey, if I could get another 10 years out of this business, I'd be lucky and I'd be happy and I'd be grateful. Here we are.
Here you are.
Yeah. Fast forward to that now. And I mean, I don't know what's ultimately going to happen here, but I do think, you know, local media is hugely important.
But I want you to go back to Stardate 1980, when Kevin was an up and coming high schooler. And I want to know, were you always thinking about broadcasting, Kevin? Was that part of who you were, or is that something you kind of discovered in college? What were you thinking?
Good question. And I get that a lot, especially from the kids when I do school talk. I cannot tell you guys that, wow, I've wanted to do this since I was a little kid and it was a tornado. Nope, that was definitely not me. I will tell you, 1980, just the last couple of years of high school there. But when I went to junior college there, I wanted to go into business administration, but there were a lot of things that were tied with that, like some high math and some other things. And because of that reason and some other people that I met along the way, I kind of got pulled in and kind of almost shoved into, I don't mean it as a bad way, but kind of migrated into, hey, I'm going to go for an applied science degree. And part of that in my junior college at the time was broadcasting, like a news or a broadcasting degree. And that was in the mid-80s. And here's the other thing to preface this, guys, you know, I was working full time in a shipping and receiving department right in high school and out of high school and making some okay money at the time. At the time, the minimum wage was only $3.10. I thought I was doing good making $3.25 an hour. $3.25, by the way. And I was doing that. So I had just finished, like everybody, you know, you finish 12, 13 years of school and wait a minute. I'm going to work in my business that I'm doing, save some money. So I took a year off and said, the college thing really isn't for me. Then took another year off. And, you know, the statistics are quite high. If you take 1 year off, a lot of people don't go back. If you take 2 years off, the odds are really against you going back. But I said, if you guys look up the stats, you'll see that. And I said, I finally got to a point to where it was in 1983-84. And I said, you know what? I don't want to get my fingernails dirty and run a shipping department the rest of my life. I want to become something. And that's when I started to go to night school, and the opportunity came up to eventually go full time. Started part time, went full time. And then kind of migrated into, hey, you know what? This broadcast thing might be something. I met another guy who's my best friend now. He's the best man in my wedding. He was kind of going into that as well. And then we were starting to go down the radio and TV path. And I wanted to be one of those big news anchors where I got into a bigger city and a bigger market after time. And I became that guy. I was the news anchor. And I started down that road, as you mentioned in the intro, Dan, eventually started to do, I had a baby face at the time, and I had no experience. That was the proverbial
You still do,
thing.
Kevin. You still
yeah,
do.
Yeah, well, I'd like to think so, but the hair's a little lighter for some reason.
It pays off when
your face is a little fatter, a few more wrinkles, that sort of thing. All in a good way. But yeah, we eventually got to a point to where started to go down the radio news path, and then did that for a couple of years, and then took that pay cut, as I mentioned early on, to go into TV. And then the real changing point when I was in Clarksburg, West Virginia, doing TV news and reporting. I was doing some weekend fill-in anchoring and then doing some reporting. And then what had happened by misfortune there, the gentleman who had been there in Clarksburg, West Virginia, WBOY-TV, W-Boy, I never forget those call letters. he had, I think, some health issues or a heart attack, and they had come to me and they said, as you know, sometimes it happens like this. Hey, you have a really good ability to ad lib. We don't have anybody else that can fill in and do weather. Can you do weather? And I says, I don't know much about it, but I took some classes and I said, sure, I can do some weather. Well, the rest was history then, because I got a taste of the weather. And then it's like, hey, I don't have to always run out and get the soundbite and get the VOSAT, you know, the voiceover tape, and get the interview and then do the editing. It's like, it was a little easier in that sense. So that's where the rest of it became history, Dan and Terry, to where I got a little taste of doing the weather. I was kind of my own boss. I can control my own destiny and put on my own graphics. And then It was that job that I did that I kind of morphed into from radio, not from radio news, but from TV news and reporting to kind of weather TV reporting. And then that laid the groundwork to get the next job, which was in Rockford, Illinois, as a morning weather person there at WIFR in 1996. I did that for a year. And then that went from that point to 1998 in Weather Central and Channel 27 there,
WCOW. WCOW, WKOW.
That's right. From W Boy to WI5 to WKOW TV. And then I got hired as the morning weather person there. And then they wanted me to start taking classes from UW-Madison because they had a great weather program and atmospheric sciences program. And then I didn't finish it there, but I finished it here. By the time I got here to Grand Rapids, Michigan, I took more classes and finished and got my certification. So actually just a few credits, few classes short of a master's in geosciences, because as a weather guy and a meteorologist, they want you to know a little bit about everything, geosciences. And, you know, we're the station scientists now. So they want you to know about earthquakes, volcanoes, meteorology, and everything. It's that guy. So that's how it went up. And that's how it worked for me, guys. It was a long, arduous road. I mean, I think it works so much faster now that I have seen people come right out of college and get into TV and then go right up the ladder. It did not work that way for me. It took 10 years to get where I was moving around the country. And here we are, you know, so back in 2001, you know, there was already a climb of about eight, nine years there. And then of course I've been here for 23 years. So it was a long climb.
But you still are kind of that kind of the story you don't hear about a lot in the news business anymore, especially somebody who goes from news to being a weather person to being a meteorologist. Because, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but it's tough to get into the weather business now if you don't have a meteorology degree, especially in broadcasting. Isn't that true?
Well, I think it is, and there, you know, it's hard to find really good meteorologists. I mean, it's far more plentiful, I think, to look for TV news producers, reporters, maybe even some anchors, because there's more of them. There's more of those jobs. Mm-hmm. I think about this sometimes, I have to remind myself, there are 215-ish television markets in this country or cities, so to speak, that have what we call these DMAs, these designated market areas. That's a TV market. Yep. We were market number 38. We slid a little bit here.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, we're market 42 or 43. Keep in mind, the lower the number, the bigger the market. So for example, the biggest DMA, the biggest television DMA in this country is New York City. Mm-hmm. They're number one. They have millions of people there. Then you go to LA, which is, you know, Los Angeles, they're number two. Chicago's number three. We end up at about number 42 or number 43 here. I am only one of four people in this city and surrounding cities in this market that hold the title of chief meteorologist. I work for the Fox affiliate. There's only three other ones, guys.
Right.
One gentleman that works for ABC, the other one that works for NBC, and the other one that works for CBS. You know, it's a different ball game out there right now in this business. I came up very much the old fashioned way, to where I tried to get into this business and we can't hire you unless you have experience. I can't get experience unless you hire me. But in my world, you had to be willing to leave. And I was in the Detroit area, which was a market 9 or 10. So I was never getting a start in TV in Detroit at that time. You had to go out, do 5, 8, 10 years, and then come back and get your experience and then come back. So it was a long climb for me, and it took some time. So, but we're where we are now, and we're in a good position. And, you know, I've ridden the wave. It's been good. And, you know, I'll be able to retire. And there's not a lot of people in this business that get a good 30, 35 year run. We got to where we wanted to be. Ultimately, I wish I was telling you guys that, hey, I got back to Detroit and I'm that morning guy in Detroit and, you know, we're doing this. But, you know, it's not always about that. And you begin to refocus things and saying, hey, I think I can finish off my career here.
Oh, yeah.
Retire happily here. And that's where we are now. You know, I'm going to go out there and say, you know, there's probably another 5 to 7 years left, I'm thinking. I'll be honest with you. I I have no intention, as much as I like it and enjoy it, is doing this when I'm 70, 75 years old. There comes a point to where I think you have to go out on a high note, and you're ready to do that, and you want to reap the benefits of what you've sown all those years, and start to do a little bit of traveling and spend some quiet time. And, you know, from a meteorologist perspective, in my head, guys, every time I hear a rumble of thunder, my instant intuition is, all right, there's someplace I need to be. I need to get into the station because that's the life that I've lived, and I'm that guy. And as the chief, you lead that department, and you do that, and you cover the bases, and you cover everything. And that's just the way it is, and the right thing to do. But there will come a time to when it's like, okay, I'll hand that baton off to somebody else, and I'll pull back and say, hey, now it's time for me to just sit and enjoy a good old thunderstorm and listen to the rumble.
Go ahead.
You go ahead, Carrie.
I was just going to say, what are some of the craziest weather events you have seen, been part of, witnessed?
Well, two of them come to mind. We had I believe it was a hurricane that went up the East Coast several years ago, Hurricane Sandy. What happened is it was so powerful, it went up into the Northeast United States, but it was throwing wind and waves back on the Great Lakes across Lake Michigan.
Really?
We called it Superstorm Sandy here. That was throwing 20 to 22, 23 foot waves on the southern base of Lake Michigan in Berrien County, around the St. Joe Benton Harbor area, and into Northwest Indiana. And the reason I remember that is because that was the first time to when our new management had come in, and they said, we want you to take a camera and go out there by myself. I was MMJing it. and that was the first story that I went out with, and I covered those waves. And it was crazy because, as you guys know, you're always on a deadline, and the clock is ticking. Hurry up, get out in the morning, drive from Grand Rapids down to the St. Joe Benton Harbor, Michigan area, which is in and of itself was a couple of hour drive. And then try to set up the camera and get these shots when there's 50, 60 mile per hour winds. Sand is pelting your face. The camera fell over. Luckily, it fell in the sand and it didn't break the camera. Otherwise, that would have been the end of the story. So I remember that. And then the other thing that you mentioned about one of the events was probably just last year. I think it was August 25th, somewhere in there, to where we were in an outlook for some strong to possibly some severe thunderstorms. And I remember they issued a severe thunderstorm watch for us. And I had already worked my morning shift. And once they issued the watch at about 6 o'clock in the evening, you know, I started to get dressed and get my shirt and tie back on and another suit. And my wife said, where are you going? You already work. I said, we're under severe thunderstorm watch. I'm the chief meteorologist. And granted the fact that we had people in place, as the chief, you go back. Everything started to break loose not long after I got there. We got several severe thunderstorm warnings issued, and we had about 5, 6, 7 tornadoes across central and southern lower Michigan, one of which just missed our house and our subdivision by less than a mile. Hundreds of thousands of people across the state were without power. And, you know, it is so surreal because after you finish that, it's almost like being a rock star in the sense that you're up on stage. And I always wonder how people like Paul McCartney and all these people perform with thousands of people out there. And then they walk off stage and you have to turn this off. How do you come down off that high and turn it off? Well, I'm an excitable kind of guy anyways. I mean, I always, when I do my forecast, they're always a higher energy. I don't believe it. Listen, I say this, guys, if I can't be excited about giving you guys the forecast on TV, I can't expect you to be excited about watching it. So I try to be engaging. Those are the things that I remember in the recent past. There were some ice storms. There were some other severe weather segments as well. But in the recent past, that's what I think about. Superstorm Sandy, 22-foot waves out on Lake Michigan. And then of course, the tornado outbreak that we had there, which just missed our house by less than a mile. Yeah.
Wow.
You know what always amazed me, Kevin? And I love to cover weather stories when I was a general assignment reporter, because or natural disaster stories in general, just because, first of all, the visual impact is incredible. But secondly, you probably have seen this over the years too, like when you go and cover stories like that, people are so resilient and people are so, you know, so open and honest. after something like, you know, a tornado rips through your house and God willing, nothing happens and everybody's okay. But it's always so interesting to talk to people after something like that happens in their life, because in a strange way, it kind of gives you hope for humankind, I think, because you realize how resilient and thankful some people can be, even when in the face of things like that. Did you find that sometimes when you're out doing those kind of disaster type stories?
Yes, and I will tell you this, that anybody listening to this program is probably going to agree, or they'll certainly know it after I point it out. But there's a vulnerability there when the people go in, they realize that, oh my gosh, I didn't realize a tornado just ripped my house out and leveled it. But you're right, they let us in as the media to tell their story, makes our job easier, but it also allows us to tell the human interest part of that story.
Right.
But there is a resiliency there, whether it's local or national. And these people realize that despite how vulnerable they are to natural disasters, there has to be a resiliency and a positive thing that, hey, I have to pick myself up and continue on. We have to move forward, because they're in the boat many times with a lot of other people, and towns and cities have been destroyed and decimated. And you're just there as a member of the media to tell the story. And I've been in that case many times before. To show you guys something and to illustrate that, here's something I think about too, Dan and Carrie, to where several years ago, we had a tornado rip through the southern portion of Kent County, which houses Grand Rapids, Michigan, but also one of their suburbs around the Wyoming and Kentwood area. That's one of their, it's just outside of Grand Rapids. And we went down there, and me and our main anchor at the time did our 4, 5, and 6 o'clock news live there on location, because there was that much damage. And, you know, after everything was said and done and talking to all these people and running around and interviewing them and showing them everything, we had a gentleman that came over that had some damage. It wasn't a lot of damage in the big scope of things to some of the neighbors, but he came over to me and my co-anchor, Christian, after the three-hour newscast, and he said, hey, he said, I'm just firing up the charcoal grill. How about if you guys come over for a couple of burgers and have an ice cold beer with us? And it's like, this is incredible. We, you know, these people have just undergone all this devastation. Mm-hmm. It wasn't utter devastation. It was an F1 or F2 tornado, trees down, no power. There was some damage, some shingle damage and some minor construction damage as well. But for him to be in the scope of that and then come to us and say, hey, I watch you guys all the time. We know you were here. Come on. And we did, by the way, we did. I thought, first of all, I was ready for something to eat at that point. But, you know, you're working the story and you're doing all that. And I think it certainly is appreciated, but almost out of respect that absolutely, I'd love to come over and sit with you for a few grabs. And we did that. So we're privileged to be part of that. I've been part of that for a long time. And I'm always going to be that guy that goes over, shakes the hand, talks to people and say good luck. And if there's anything else I can, sometimes we go back and do follow-up stories. So you want to be able to maintain that rapport with them, no matter what happened to them. Here, I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I'm an uncle. And I'm no different than they are. It's just that it didn't hit my house. It hit their house. So you have to be heartwarming and heartfelt to them to be able to tell their story while still at the time getting the story out and getting it to people, but being able to feel their pain and say, hey, I don't know exactly what you're going through, but I got an idea. Tell me about it. Help me tell the story.
Well, there's that resiliency that we talked about, and then just that openness that comes out when neighbors, you know, rally for each other and are willing to just come and be a shoulder to cry on or offer food or offer shelter or whatever to each other. That's a really incredible part of those stories as well.
You know what, when we had the tornado damage less than a mile here, there are mile roads here like there are in many cities. We live off 6 mile road. This tornado came on August 25th across 7 mile road. So it literally missed us by a mile or less. I went there the next day to the area, which is just a mile and a half away. Part of a school was damaged. There was a lot of structural damage because it was a high end EF1, 110 mile per hour sustained winds there. So there was a lot of damage, but I went there the next day and walked around and to see that, even as a meteorologist, and I forecasted it and I was there covering it, tracking it. I am in total awe to just see that damage and walk through that. And then talk to the people, but you know, they're my neighbors too. But just to see that is incredible, and experience that with them. And of course, they know who you are because, you know, they were watching TV at the time and they had the TV on and they were taking shelter and seeking cover and that sort of thing. But, you know, it's just something to be part of that. You know, I'm a very small potato in a much bigger picture of what goes around on a day by day basis. And, sometimes we're just part of that. We're in the trenches with those people trying to tell a story and get the job done. I would say to your listeners, and you guys can probably tell, you can tell that I'm a broadcaster only because when you ask me a question, I go for several minutes and I give you an answer. That's just the Kevin.
Like, how much time do I have?
Well, yeah. And I feel sorry for you guys if you're going to try to edit some of this up because you have
actually
to do
not.
When I stop and take a breath. So if the show's a couple of hours long, you'll be in great shape. But listen, I always try to be that guy and just return the thanks to people when I meet them and I have the chance to meet them and say hello. Not everybody is like that in this business. I do what I love and I love what I do. Mm-hmm. And I hope that it shows. And I think a lot of people say that to me on my Facebook page. If you go to Kevin Craig, Fox 17, I have over 13,000 people on the Facebook page. There's a lot of positive comments there. There's a lot of things that try to keep people informed. There's weather stuff. There's behind the scenes stuff that people will follow. And I try to give them a little bit of an insight into who I am. It's not always about meteorology and the work, but hey, here's my kids. They made their graduation or I had an anniversary or my daughter who loves the bake just made this awesome pineapple upside down cake. And it kind of lets them peer into who I am because they wake up with me. I'm now on mornings. I was the chief meteorologist who was on evenings, but now I'm on mornings. And there are a handful of chief meteorologists in this business that actually work the mornings. There's not a lot of them, but I'm on in the morning. That's where the company feels that I do the most good for Fox 17 and the best. And my personality, I have more of a
higher energy. I was going to say, you can get them out of bed. You can inspire them. Give them some energy.
And that's what the morning show is all about. You know, it's all about her. Wake up with me, grab your coffee, and let's talk weather. And I like to think I'm that guy, the guy next door. Come on, stop in and we'll talk. And you know, I was kind of doing that and kind of perfecting it and honing it all along the way, every one of those years that we talked until we got to Madison, Wisconsin. And then I got the 3-year gig there from 1998 to 2001 and was that morning guy and tried to be the guy next door and the friend of the meteorologist. And now, you know, we continue that here. And luckily, I've been accepted well by the public. People like me. I think of the old skit with the guy on Saturday Night Live where he's looking in the mirror.
Stuart Smalley. Like,
yeah. And I'm going to do good and I'm going to do better. And he looks in the mirror and said, because doggone it,
people like me.
And I'm lucky for that. I'm grateful for that because if they didn't like me, I would never have been able to have a 23-year career here. And that's one of the reasons why we stay. Because even if I said to myself, I want to go get another job in New York or Chicago or LA if I could even get there and was good enough. What if I got there and I had the high salary and we get in there and you know what, Kevin, you're just here's a fast forward a year or two down the road and contracts coming up for renewal. And you know what? You're just not the guy we thought you were. We're going to have to let you go. I don't want to get to that point. And, you know, sometimes you have to take a risk in life, but sometimes there's something to be said for complacency, especially in this business and longevity. And I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say, we found it. We're here. We're going to stay. And, I will. The caveat is, Dan, as you asked that question, I still think there's something else I should be doing with my life. I'm not necessarily talking about a different career. I think there's a higher thing that I should be doing. I don't know what that is. I hope I find it before I pass on. And I don't know, it may be in that. And my thought is as we close the chapter and eventually retire, whenever that day will be, it might be more volunteer work. It might be helping out the church. It may be mentoring to whatever it is and whatever I do, but there's something else that I need to be doing that it does. It's going to transcend this job that I've done here. And I don't know what it is, but I hope to God that I find that path and whatever that is before my day is called to come home. So,
well, I'm sure you will. I mean, when you're open to that, the people come, the opportunities come, you know, when you're like, I'm here to serve things come to you. So I have no doubt you will find that purpose.
If I wasn't doing this, here's the next question that I'll ask myself for you guys. You don't even have to ask. What would you be doing if you weren't doing this? We've done well, and you guys know this from me working with me many years ago. At that time, as a much younger man, I was into investing. I'm almost as passionate about this, not to sound like that guy, not to sound like the mom and dad. I'm almost as passionate about this as I am weather, because people have it in their power to live that life of financial independence, but they have to start young and start early and be consistent and be persistent, and you can do it.
Yeah, I think we found your second career right here. We're tight on time, but I love asking because I loved watching TV bloopers back in the day. Do you have on-air bloopers that you just kind of chuckle about from like many years ago?
I thought I was wrong once, but I was mistaken. I will tell you, there are some things that where you might be cutting a quick tease or a headline or something. And it's like, I remember one day, many, many years ago, probably about 10, I had already been in Grand Rapids for probably 7 or 8 years. And I don't know what I was thinking of, but the outro, the last line was, Kevin Craig, WKOW, Channel 27. Like, whoa, where did that come from? It's like I had already been here for so long. But there's no real bloopers that stand out because after having done this for so long, you still make mistakes and you do some things that are like, wow, I shouldn't have said that or this or that, you know, and I knock on wood here. I've got a solid oak table. I have never gone into, you know, how sometimes you get the giggles and you can't stop.
That was our whole career.
Never happened. That has never happened to me. So I'm lucky. No real bloopers that come to mind and no real giggles that come to mind. There's a slip of the tongue to where I may have said something that comes out like something else, maybe a swear word or something. And you just keep on going. You have to push forward because if you dwell on it, then did he just say, I had one gentleman, I don't remember what I said, but he emailed into the station or emailed me or said on Facebook and said, I spit my coffee out when I heard you say that. So there's been a couple of them. I don't recall specifically, but there have been one every once in a while here.
Yeah. All right. I got it in.
Kevin Craig of Fox 17 News in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and of course, one time of 27 First News and many other places. Thank you so much for talking with us today, Kevin. It's been really look at that.
I got my mug with my tea, 27, just for you.
You will be completely floored. If I said if you could give me 30 seconds, I have that mug downstairs in my guitar room. I have it.
We trust you.
Not surprised.
That's awesome. Cheers.
And listen, before we completely break off and say goodbye, again, if you guys get to West Michigan, you have to contact me via Facebook or however you do it by the station. We have to get together for a lunch or a dinner or a visit to the beach.
Or a water ski.
Okay. Yeah, water ski. Yeah. if I don't sell the boat first.
That sounds great. Good. It's a date.
It is. And thank you so much, Kevin. This has been so much fun.
Privilege and an opportunity was all mine. I almost feel like the Beatles who got the band back together, even if it was just for an hour or two, to think about old Neil Simon's movie. Seems like old times. Mm-hmm. It does indeed. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. The privilege.
All right.
Thanks, Kevin. We'll see you.
Thank you. Right. Bye.
Take care. See ya.
Thanks for tuning in to Old News with Dan and Carrie.
That's old news for now.
Join us next time.